Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, hello, everybody. Shane in the house with Jared and Adam. Episode 242 of The Scope. 242 episodes!
Yeah. Plus miscellaneous specials, reviews. It's a lot of content.
That's a lot of content. If only we could monetize it some way.
Shane, if you want to monetize it, go to Patreon.
Feel free, Jared. Feel free to sell it.
We'll sell it later.
But we're back, Jared, and guess what? Our Vikings are still 5-0.
It's surprising.
God, there's a big game this week against the Eagles.
By the time this episode is out, the game will have happened, and I assume the Vikings are 6-0. Yeah.
And let's not even talk about the Washington football team.
Okay, I'm fine not talking about it.
All right. Well, we're not going to bore you with football talk. We got a great show coming up, Nerd Roundtable. And I wanted to do a pre-Nerd Roundtable question in the top of our show, because it's big news, Adam, for me.
It is. Okay.
Very big news. This week, I finally finished a video game that I bought a couple of weeks after the PlayStation 4 came out.
Hmm. Wow.
Any guess? It's a launch game.
Assassin's Creed?
Nope.
What else came out then with the launch?
It's a Sony game. I'll give you that tip. It's a shooter.
Sony game. Oh, that franchise that they have that I've never played any of those.
Killzone.
There we go.
Killzone. Explain this game.
So it's very much like a Halo-y type of game, a futuristic shooter.
Yeah.
You've got different races on that are, they all look human. It's really strange, but none of them are from Earth. Earth is never mentioned, and it's, you know, you're a guy who is fighting for one side, but soon finds out that his side could be just as bad.
Hmm.
But yeah, I got this game on a pretty good deal shortly after the PlayStation 4 came out, which was 2013. So this game is 3 years old.
Yep.
And I finished it. I've decided that I'm going to go through my back catalog and just start crushing games.
Now, you mean you finished it a long time ago, but you just 100%ed it?
I just
platinum trophy?
I took it out of the plastic and played through the 10 levels. That's what I did.
So how long did it take?
It took me a week. And it's only 10 levels, and most levels took about 40 minutes to complete. So,
how'd you feel afterwards? Like, sense of accomplishment?
I did, but the problem is when you have so many games that you haven't played, you just feel like, okay, what am I going to do next? But I was glad that I did it. Now, if I want to trade this hot game in, I can get like 50 cents for it. And that is the truth. It's about a 50-cent trade-in. So, there you go. So, but my question to you two, what is the oldest game that you own that you have yet to play?
Well, but you could look at like a Steam library.
I'm going to talk about
physical release.
A physical release for one of your home video game system.
Hmm.
Is there a game that you have yet to take
them in? So I don't.
What's the oldest thing you have?
I literally have two games at home right now.
What do you have at home?
I can't remember.
Battlefield?
No, that's long. That's
or
long
Battlefront?
Gone. Yeah, that's long gone.
Hmm.
Jared, what about you?
I don't know. I have a whole stack of like cheap Xbox 360 games that I bought, like, you know, you just go to the clearance rack at Target and buy them for $10.
And you
maybe like Dragon Age, the first one, or probably maybe Mass Effect.
You have Dragon Age Origins?
I think so.
Oh, but yeah, for the Xbox. The PC version was really, really good, but the
wouldn't that be the same game?
No, they made it like tactical and stuff on PC.
Well, that's bullshit.
I have three games that I probably bought right around the same time. It would be Christmas a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
One would be that Alien Isolation game or whatever, which I have yet to play. And I don't know if I'm going to play that game because it sounds like it's great, but there's a lot of randomness to it in terms of how the alien behaves. So for me to finish it quickly, it sounds like it would not be easy to do.
Okay.
I've also got what's another game? I remember Adam saying to me, Adam saying to me on the show, are you really going to play that game again? And I said, yeah, I think I will. And of course, I'm talking about Grand Theft Auto 5. It is the game that I beat down so bad on Xbox 360, and then I bought the remastered deluxe version on Xbox One.
Yeah.
And I love that game, so I still might put it in, but to play it all the way through again would not be great. Although maybe getting into the multiplayer could be kind of fun because they keep adding stuff to it. So you just, I think it'd be fun if I had other people to play against. So yeah, I've got those two games, and I got a third game, which is, oh, Jared had mentioned it, the Dragon Age game I bought.
The new one, Inquisition.
Yeah, and that's a couple years old as well. I started playing Witcher, which was about a year old, and I just couldn't. I couldn't stick with it. It was too complicated for me.
I had that, and it just wasn't clicking for me. Yeah. I do have an answer.
Okay.
I have Until Dawn.
Is that the PlayStation game?
PlayStation game.
I played through that game.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fast game.
Yeah.
It's got problems, but it's also kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah. I think
Mr. Robot in it. So
that's right. Yep.
Hayden Panettiere.
Yep.
We're going to get all Hayden Panettiere.
That game came out August 2015.
There we go.
So that is my...
That's not that old, though. So a year.
But like I said, like...
But that game dropped in price very quickly, too.
Yeah. If I get a game and I'm just not enjoying it, even after a few weeks, I'll just trade it.
Do you always play it? So like if you get a game, is it something where I'm going to play this? Or do you like, I got it and I'll, you know, I have a...
I will never put something on the shelf and just let it sit there for an extended period of time.
Well, I just got Lego Avengers... And that might sit for a little bit. But I played through all of Star Wars Lego Force Awakens. 100% of that game. 100%ed it. 100%ed it.
Is that an Xbox?
Everything.
Or,
that was I got the Xbox version of that one.
So, you got all the achievements?
Everything. Everything that you could get,
wow.
I got.
Impressive.
It was impressive.
Most people say you got to give 110%, but you think 100 is good enough.
As they say in The Good Place, it's actually possible to give, 104%? That's what you actually can give. So there you go. Old video games, guys.
Great.
I promise you in the next segment of our Scope show, the Nerd Roundtable, some of you may have heard of this. We do it from time to time. There will be more video game talk, and I'm excited to get into that. And also some other things that might be relevant to your everyday life. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more Jared, Adam over there, and me, Shane, and Scope, episode 242, right after this.
Hey guys, want to support the show? Consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/thescopeshow. You can pledge as little as $1 per episode, set a monthly cap, and cancel anytime, but you're not going to do that because you like us so much. Patreon helps you support creators directly, and your support means we can continue to make this show for you on a regular basis. So visit patreon.com/thescopeshow for more information.
Everybody, we are back with The Scope, episode 242. Newsflash, we've got a new logo. Newsflash again, you can't see it yet.
Yeah, we're keeping it private.
Nerd Roundtable, guys, this is a reoccurring bit in which we talk about the issues that affect you, the worldly nerd, the worldly geek, or just a person that lives in our world. We've got questions ranging from video games to movies, and maybe even a little politics. Wow, what a good David Letterman response. I'm excited. So Jared.
Yeah.
Adam.
Yep.
Let's kick this thing off with a little movie talk right here on the Nerd Roundtable. Question number one. Let's talk about the hype level for this new Star Wars movie, Rogue One.
Right.
Last year at this time, people were crapping their pants over Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a different tactic being taken for this film in the sense that it is not, maybe not even being pushed as hard right now by Disney as the last movie.
Really?
Agree? Or, I think so.
All right.
Agree, disagree? And furthermore, are you excited about this film, Adam? I'm looking right at you and your terrific face.
Thank you.
Mean, it's full of expression.
Yeah, that's what I always am.
A little 5 o'clock shadow.
I'm very excited about this movie.
For the record, the last trailer just came out a week ago.
No. Well, yes.
A week ago, Adam.
Right. Yes.
I say a week ago.
You're right.
And I thought it was fantastic.
I loved it. Got me all excited all over again. Because the last thing we heard about this movie was reshoots and
Disney
being
nonsense.
Unhappy with some of the tone and such.
And such.
I think the idea of an action-oriented heist movie that's a little darker, a little bit more adult, set in the Star Wars universe.
The Star Wars universe that has been around for 40 years.
Yes. That sounds awesome to me.
Yeah, in concept, it's great.
And you're getting it, supposedly.
Right. So I'm excited.
Jared, chime in on this.
I don't watch commercials, so I guess it's hard for me to know like what you mean by them not marketing it.
I have not seen a regular commercial for this yet on television.
Yeah, but
it's like they're focusing on Doctor Strange. But
October, did they? Were they running commercials for The Force Awakens?
It had to be pretty close to that, Jared.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Oh, come on! Stick with the narrative, you bastard. We're creating our own news narrative.
So you
here.
just create a headline and then you just argue to support it no matter what.
Of course I do. Right.
I don't know. I think maybe it's a little bit less, but it still feels like there's quite a bit. I mean, I maybe the place I'm coming from is a little different because I subscribe to the Star Wars YouTube channel and I watch a lot of their videos that come out. So and they're talking about it. They've been talking about it for months.
Of course they have.
So yeah, I'm not, you know, I think we've had three trailers for the film. Most films don't get that many trailers.
This is not most films.
I know, but we've had big toy releases already. I don't know. I feel like it's on par, if maybe not quite as much as The Force Awakens. It's definitely there.
What kind of business is this film going to do?
Kind of business?
Poosh. Yeah, spell that, buddy. I mean, it's not going to make as much as The Force Awakens, right?
No, but what did that do opening weekend? Let's find out.
Well, let's talk about it for a
second. $9 million.
What I think that
$9 million.
What is fascinating about this film is that you are really working within a 70s aesthetic in terms of filmmaking and making something that is, it has to be appealing to people that are, you know, 40 years removed from that. That is the challenge. But everything that I've seen in this trailer, Adam, feels like they're doing it.
I agree. It is an exciting looking trailer. It's one of those where it's like, if it weren't called Star Wars and you didn't see the Death Star and stuff, and you just saw like kind of a cool looking sci-fi movie, I'd be excited for just that. And then you add what is hopefully a good interweaving of, I guess, kind of the end of Rebels and the beginning of A New Hope.
And what do we got?
That's awesome.
Yeah, you've got some interesting things for Easter eggs here, Jared.
Yeah.
I mean, you do, like Adam said, you have the possibility if you could tie in Rebels to this movie somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't go there, but it would be kind of fun if we got something.
Well, they've already tied it into Clone Wars.
What?
The character that Forrest Whitaker plays.
Yes, yes.
So, is from Clone Wars.
So we've got that. So we wonder if you're going to have any overlapping of time on that. The one thing that I was always concerned about with this film was the fact that it's introducing so many different character designs or, you know, stormtrooper designs, things like that, that we've never seen anywhere else.
Right.
But it feels like they're doing it organically enough where it's going to work. You know, like they're specialized sort of troopers that you wouldn't necessarily see all the time, or they're covert op stuff that you wouldn't see all
right.
the time.
It does run the risk of the prequel film that happens, that somehow has to exist just before a film that was made 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So how do you mesh that? And everything I've seen tells me they're doing it right. But you always have that risk of like, I think that's where the Star Wars aesthetic works in your favor. Because everything's always sort of never been like super high tech looking.
Yeah.
It's always been sort of used and abused and worn. Unlike in Star Trek when they tried to do Enterprise that takes place before the original series, and it looks completely way more advanced.
Yeah,
you know,
it just doesn't work.
Star Wars, you can pull it off because they're not number one. They're not fixated on the technology at all, ever. But you know, I had someone over IM, a friend of mine, earlier this week ask, you know, how are they going to explain why this director Krennic guy isn't on the Death Star or any of his people aren't on the Death Star? And I'm like, they don't have to.
Right.
I mean, he's the Empire is vast.
Yes.
And he happens to, he works. He's involved in the Death Star, but it doesn't mean he's on the Death Star.
Right. This movie is interesting because it is a prequel, like the original, the prequel trilogy. But the difference is the prequel trilogy, you knew what happened to everybody else, you know, before you get to the end of those films. You know, who lives, who dies.
Right.
But with this one, you've got this subset of characters that are obviously brand new to the Star Wars universe, but maybe they live, maybe they die. I think that's part of the tension. Like you have a built-in tension here.
Well, and you,
which you did not have in the prequel trilogy.
Right. Well, yeah, they're new characters. We don't know what their fate is.
And I mean, theoretically, this is a completely self-contained story. Yeah. Like there won't be, you know, we might hear about them, or there might be some, you know, other spin-off, but theoretically, this is going to be it for them.
Yeah.
So
they could easily kill all of your, I mean, I don't think they would do this, but you could kill all of your main good guys in this film.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
And that would be a stunning thing to do. And a bold thing to do, which, you know.
I mean, they've been characterizing it as a war film, so you have to expect casualties.
Yes. So that, I think, is very intriguing to me. You know, there is a mystery, there is a tension built into the film. And you combine that with a terrific-looking picture that we've seen in the three trailers, we've seen in the screenshots. You've got some interesting character designs, interesting Stormtrooper designs. Some of them very Ralph McQuarrie-like.
Yes.
Which people always love that stuff. And, you know, that aesthetic was really brought to the forefront in Rebels. I mean, that was the whole idea. We're going to make it look like his painting. So it's fun to see some of that stuff carry into Rogue One. And a pretty strong cast, too, if you think about who is actually in this. Mm-hmm. So I think that everything's looking up for this film. I can't wait.
I mean, except, obviously, for the Mary Jane.
Of course.
Yeah. Primary.
Of course.
Heroine.
Of course. Adam said
right. I've told a lot of people on Twitter how I feel about it, though, so it's I'm sure they'll fix this.
Of course they will.
Right. So, The Force Awakens opened with $247 million.
The opening weekend?
What are we thinking for this one?
Is this rated PG-13?
Probably not rated yet.
Oh, yeah.
I guess.
I say, is that worldwide or just U.S.?
That's domestic.
I would say $200 million.
We've been doing Price is Right rules?
No.
No, there's no prizes.
It's not a contest. We're just what we're guessing. I think that it probably does $50 million less. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it comes out and, you know, people get really excited about it.
I don't think it'll do more. You know, it could be equal-ish. I think $200 million is... I don't know what they're estimating. You know, like,
well, they've already in, like, in conference calls when they're talking about profits and stuff, they've already said, you know, we do not expect this film to do Force Awakens business.
And it seems like it's probably not being marketed towards kids as much as The Force Awakens.
Except for all those toys.
Yeah.
I'm going to go even more conservative and say $180 million.
So Jared's going a little lower, but that's still pretty good.
Still good.
For Star Wars, you know, what spins out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that more than likely you will see bigger box office for the episode-centric films, especially because, you know, you're going to have recognizable faces.
And it's also the first one in this Star Wars storyline, so people maybe are cautious. They want to see what the reviews are. I don't know. Maybe they're not. Maybe they don't care because it's Star Wars.
And it's the fact that this is the first Star Wars film we've had that's come out a year after the one before it.
Right.
I mean, at the least, it's always been least at most 3 years, so whatever.
Right.
So it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I will say? When The Force Awakens came out, I think there was still a lot of hesitation from people because of the prequel trilogies.
Sure.
Like,
sure, but that wasn't, they were still going to go see it.
Yeah. I mean, been, like, how many years has it been? 15 years since
I just
then,
mean, like, so I wonder what happened from Iron Man to what was the next?
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 is the next
one? I believe so, yep.
Oh, okay.
That was, well, it was Incredible Hulk the same year, but we don't talk about that one.
Yeah. All right. Question number two. Let's move on to video games. With the Sony VR system now on the market, does anyone in the room have any interest in this expensive peripheral, which runs, I think, between $300 and $500, depending on the setup you get?
I think it's $4 and $5.
Is it $4? Is it $399 and
$499? Yeah.
Also, is this thing being VR, is it going to succeed? I mean, it's being, you've got like three different headsets now.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that's going to catch on with the general population? Adam, we'll start with you.
I really hope it does. I think it is probably the first, you know, big game change as far as video games that we've seen in, I don't know, any generation. Like, since video games, right? It's like, since the Atari, it's been, I mean, I guess you go before that too, but
sure.
It's like, play a thing on screen, I interact with it with a controller, and, you know, that's it. And I know the Wii and then the Kinect kind of, sort of, were able to move that paradigm a little bit. But,
move the needle, but not quite.
And it was very gimmicky.
Yeah.
And I think this will be gimmicky initially at first, but like every reaction that I've seen from people when they first experience good VR, it's It seems like it's something else.
Have you tried the system?
Yeah, I did the, but not PSVR. I did the, was it the Oculus that they had at Best Buy? Yeah.
I could have done the PSVR if I wanted, and I just didn't. So,
and I think it's great. There's a lot of issues with them. There's, you know, with Oculus and Vive needing a powerful PC.
Rig.
Yeah. With this needing both a PlayStation 4 and the headsets.
Yeah. And the new powerful PlayStation 4 coming out that goes along with this. That's
the
a money issue.
PS4 Pro, is that what it's called?
Right. But, I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with PSVR.
I'm talking more about the adoption rate.
Oh, sure.
You know, it sort of splits the markets. But yeah. Whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. All we've heard the last couple, you know, console generations is like, well, consoles are probably going to die soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, tablets or whatever are going to be good enough or better, I guess.
I hope that's
not
the case.
In some cases. So I don't know. Like I said, I hope it does. We'll probably need to wait like a generation of headsets for it to be a thing. And, you know, I think people really burned out on Wii and Kinect stuff pretty quick.
Yeah. I don't know if the Kinect ever really caught on. That's the problem.
Well, it's sold really well.
Yeah. I got it, but then I barely use it. It just didn't work as well.
Right. So I'd say from like sales figures, it caught on. But yeah, then it wasn't good. And no one ever made anything.
Yeah. I mean, you had Dance Central, but even that, you needed a room as big as a school cafeteria just for the stupid thing to work.
Right. I will say, I think that.
No yawning, Jared.
PSVR's social screen, where people around you can also watch on the TV what you're doing, is a way better implementation than what the Oculus or the Vive have. But those are meant more to be
solo
experiences, so that's fine. But
how much would the PlayStation VR need to cost before you buy it?
I mean, I think at $400, I would,
for the full setup. You get the two controllers,
the two moves, and the camera. So I think it's about $100 more than I would be willing to spend on it right now.
I've heard that the Move controllers seem to be a bit antiquated.
Yes.
Like, why are they doing that?
Well,
but maybe it's a cost cutting.
It's definitely a cost saving.
So maybe in future generations they'll figure that out.
Yeah. The new Oculus
hand things.
Yeah. People have been saying really good things about those because they're capacitive all the way up and down. So like
like $300 for a set, aren't they?
No, they're $150 for the set. $149,
okay.
I think.
That's not bad.
But yeah, they're capacitive all the way up and down. So like you can kind of like squeeze your hands and that like will mimic a grabbing motion and stuff rather than like I press this button to do, you know, a grab and this other button to do a shoot. Like it's a little bit more intuitive.
You're starting to get the full range of body motion.
But you watch videos and it's like there's cool things. Like there's this Rec Room game for the Vive.
There's nothing cool. I've seen nothing interesting on VR.
You're wrong.
Period.
No.
Yet.
This Rec Room game.
Nothing that isn't a tech demo.
No. Rec Room is like, it's like Wii Sports, but the way it's multiplayer and it's like you're just hanging out like in a YMCA sort of thing. But the way you party up with people, you're walking around the space with them. How do you party up with them? You give each other knucks. You give each other knucks.
That's short for knuckles.
That's crazy. And like they don't explain that. You have to like learn that by interacting with the other people you're playing with.
I'm not on board
Let's go
with
to
any
Jared.
Of this VR stuff.
Jared,
I
not
think,
on board. Tell me, Jared.
I think it's still in the tech demo phase. I don't doubt that the headsets are ready for prime time. You've got high-res OLED displays in there. They're smaller than they ever have been. They've got the motion down. There's no lag. I'm sure they're beautiful and they're great, but there's no games that are of any interest to me that play on these things. Although they're all just like
what
technology
about like that
demos.
Rez game or whatever that's getting great reviews.
Rez and Thumper.
I just think you need several years of these things being in the marketplace before people really figure out what games work on
them. Yeah, and so we get like a Rockstar that comes in or a company like that that just sets the foundation.
Mm-hmm. And number two, the immersion is not complete. You don't have, I mean, you're starting to get there with those hand things, but until you are free of this having to have a pair of controllers to move and can physically move in a space, it's not going to be good enough. It's not going to be real. I mean, you still have the issue of you can't just walk around the room infinitely and to get to your destination in-game. How do you solve that problem without spending thousands of dollars or whatever it is on one of those, they have those 360 mats, whatever, that roll around. There's ways to do it, but it's just,
Cost Adam was talking about how they play a few episodes back about how they plug right into your brain.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen, problem. Jared.
And I still hear complaints about people getting motion sick when it comes to trying to get to move in games.
Yep. I mean, like, I think that'll be an
issue.
Until
you solve these problems, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I think with home VR, for the most part, you will never have that complete immersion because it's just too cost prohibitive to do something like that.
But I mean, you make the experiences not needed.
Yeah. Talk to me in the next generation when this kind of feature is baked into the release.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
PS5 comes out, it's VR from
day
one.
So are you saying that I cannot talk to you about VR now for at least 5 years?
No, I mean, you can talk to me. I'm just not interested.
I want
to
make sure that I don't hurt our friendship.
I'm not interested personally in spending any money on it.
Yeah, so
until it's way more mature.
So you wouldn't, there's not a lower, let's say if you could get a VR setup for $200, the Sony VR, would you spend $200?
I don't think you, if you're talking about like the release unit for $200?
Let's just say if
$200 is probably a price point where I'd be willing to maybe check it out.
Okay.
I don't think that's not reasonable considering the price of the Xbox One right now. You know, I mean, that thing debuted at, was that $500?
Was that $499? It might have been $499.
And it is sub $300 now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is apples and oranges, right? But it's like...
We'll have to see how... Yeah. Like, for instance, before I came over, I checked the Best Buy website just to see, could you get that VR unit? Because a lot of times with new hardware like that, it's just gone. Mm-hmm. And you could still get it at a number of stores. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's burning up the shelves, but it is more expensive than a system. So that's the issue.
And there's nothing. What do you play on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few games, but like Jared said, there's nothing. There's not like that killer app that always seems to be out there that everyone's like, oh, there's a Resident Evil VR game.
See, you're wrong. Pornhub VR.
There we go.
There's no doubt this is the future. This is where things are headed. I just think there's many, many years of development before it's really there and accessible and interesting to me at all.
Right. Let's move on to the next question, guys. Video game quickly. I don't want an explanation. I just want an answer. What is your must-buy video game for Christmas? One game you're buying this year, what is it going to be? Think.
Last Guardian.
Last Guardian from Adam?
I really only have one that I've been tracking at all, and it was my pick last week, and that's Battlefield 1.
Gotcha.
It's already out by the time this episode airs, so maybe I've gotten it, maybe I haven't. I don't know.
Still deciding.
Or maybe it's on my Christmas list.
Yes.
I don't know. But I just... I have games I haven't played yet, so I'm just not... Like, I have a season pass to Star Wars Battlefront, and I haven't even played the Death Star Trench Run yet.
Wow.
Which is shameful.
I want to come over to your house and watch you play it. I probably would say one of the shooters, Titanfall. You know, it's funny. I've seen some things online about how people are saying it's a very deep gaming season, and I don't necessarily feel that that is the case. I think we've got a lot of the same stuff with a couple of nuggets.
They said that about the summer movie season, too, Shane.
Yeah.
It was going to be deep, but it was all sequels, and it was mostly crap.
And it was not great. All right, so video games covered. So, guys, I want to dig a little bit into the political season.
Finally.
Where's my sad trombone?
Where are we? How many weeks out are we?
We're 24. Well, okay, so we're today, really today?
2 weeks out?
We're 24 days when we're recording this, so -7 plus 4 for taxes.
Did you carry the one?
17 days.
We're 17 days out of God knows what's happened. In the time that we've recorded this.
Can you... Okay, so, you know, everyone, I think, knows we record these in batches. Do you know that the Billy Bush audio tape was 8 days ago? Doesn't it feel like it's been a month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
8 days.
And NBC knew about that stuff. I mean, boy, oh, boy.
Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, who knows what has happened? But let me start it off by saying this. And
so, wait. So, this is coming out the 24th. Okay.
And Election Day is November 28th.
Right. So when this comes out, we'll be basically 15 days away.
So 2 weeks away.
Monday, yes.
God knows what's going to happen in that time period. But let me ask a general question about the coverage of the election, and then we'll get into specifics. But Adam.
Yeah.
Who's had the best comedy political coverage this year? I know that Jared doesn't watch a lot of it, but I watch a lot of it.
Samantha Bee. I think Samantha Bee
has been great.
I think it's Samantha Bee. John Oliver,
and he doesn't always do politics.
Right.
That's the thing.
And John Oliver falls into that thing where, like, a John Oliver joke has the same template all the time.
Yep.
Where it's like he talks about a thing, makes a joke, makes this weird comparison to you know, like
it's like a frat boy who's getting hit with the beanbag. Yeah. You know,
I love that show. I think it's very funny. But I think Samantha Bee is on an entire another level. Yeah. This season.
Jared.
Okay.
Do you concur, or do you just do? Are you?
I mean, what I've seen of Samantha Bee and what I've heard about what she's doing, I just haven't had time to watch a lot of it. She's phenomenal this season.
She comes across, there's a lot of rage there, but it's pointed and it makes sense. And honestly, the fact that you have a different strong voice in there that is not a male voice, I think that actually makes a difference.
Yep.
I mean, you get a whole new perspective. I was telling Jared that I've been getting a huge kick out of Seth Meyers and his A Closer Look stuff, which I think is just, you know, it's what I wish that Weekend Update could be now. I think Weekend Update just is, you know, not as strong.
Yeah,
I think that his stuff is pretty good.
Sure. I think the first two Weekend Updates have been surprisingly strong.
They've been good. I just don't like them as much as other people that have come before.
Do you know a friend of the show, Molly, attended a wedding that Colin Jost was also at?
Really?
Yes.
And any tidbits of fun?
I think he dated someone that was like in the wedding.
Gotcha.
And he was kind of a smug SOB or something.
He seems like he might be a little smug. Mm-hmm. But then Molly thinks everybody's smug. So.
Does she? Is that her?
That's her thing.
So we like Samantha Bee.
Mm-hmm. Bitches.
We like John Oliver, but agree that he also will talk about, like, you know, plantations in Venezuela for an episode that don't really apply.
Or FIFA.
Always. Or FIFA. He loves that FIFA. We like Seth Meyers. Let's talk about Stephen Colbert.
Who?
Stephen Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of his political stuff?
Haven't watched anything on the...
I think it's failing to make an impression on people, which is sad.
It's too bad, because the guy's hilarious.
I agree.
Is this the NBC or CBS curse again? Always playing second fiddle to what's going on NBC?
Or third fiddle.
Or third
fiddle.
On
the week.
I don't know. I mean, late night shows are not for me, so
sure.
It's hard for me to know. Like when I'm filling up gas, I'll see clips from, I guess it's Fallon is what's
and
playing there.
We talk about Fallon as a political commentator, and it's a joke.
I'm still angry at him for his softball Trump interview, by the way.
Yeah.
Ugh, he made me so mad.
He sort of slithered out of that one without getting... Yeah, you know, he got heat, but he never really said anything about it, and then it just kind of went.
I mean, they made fun of it on SNL.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was about it.
Yeah, I still go
this
back.
Show has no edge at all anyway,
and then
so who cares?
Let's talk about Trevor Noah.
Yep.
Sure. I don't watch the show anymore.
They've been putting out a lot more, you know, regular videos of what he's been, you know, talking
about.
Yeah,
they've been making the rounds.
And I just they don't hit me like Oliver, like you. I watch Transfixed and Stuart, I watch. Like, wow, like I buy what this guy is selling. But Trevor Noah, I can't get on his bandwagon. I would much rather seen John Oliver, Colbert, or Samantha Bee in that spot.
When was Jon Stewart's HBO animated thing supposed to...
I thought that was supposed to be out by election season, but clearly that may not be the case. Hmm. Yeah, I think that The Daily Show needs to rethink what they're doing with their host. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I really
How long
do.
Has it been a year now? It's been a year.
He does not come across as someone that I care to watch. And then he also does like Stuart Light type stuff. Like he's mimicking some of the same stuff that John did. And it just doesn't work for me. I'm sure he's very smart. I'm sure he's very terrific. But he just... I would watch Samantha Bee 100 out of 100 times compared to him.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because he does a daily show and she doesn't, where you can... get that essence of what you need to say. You know, you can get the best half hour versus, you know, Trevor's doing, you know, 100 minutes of it every single day.
Right.
It's not as easy.
What's been going on Stern? Does he talk about this at all?
It's funny. He doesn't talk a lot of politics because, you know, I think that he is a friend or friends
mm-hmm.
with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes on record as saying he is a Hillary supporter.
Yeah, but he hasn't recently, but early, like over the summer and stuff, he would talk about how, you know, I don't understand why people wouldn't vote for her. She's super qualified. She's smart. All that. I mean,
he does not take big swings at Donald Trump, though. Robin might be more likely to go after him, that's but right. he kind of does it through. They have, you know, they have a couple of celebrity impersonators on there. They have a Hillary. They've got a Trump, and so they'll have them on there, and they'll do comedy bits with them, and they'll hammer them pretty equally. But in terms of Stern saying what is going on, it's very lightweight.
Okay,
Robin will bring it up in the stories, in the news at the end. Maybe hit him a little bit and. Seems like Howard kind of moves through him pretty quickly.
I saw that they're on break this whole past week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They've done some funny political stuff. There's no doubt about it. But it's not, you know, there's no outrage over what's being
said.
Well,
I imagine his audience is, I bet his audience is predominantly white men. So you would think that.
There's probably a good chunk of Trump support.
Yeah. And he's
he takes collars with Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Regular collars that I can't remember, Joey from Pittsburgh or whatever. But. Yeah, I'm surprised that he has not, you know, taken up this battle other than, you know, what he's done, which is fairly minimal.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad because I think that he would. I mean, the most he'd say is like, I can't believe Trump is doing this. Like, he's had such a great life, you know, doing what he wants to. Why would he ever want to be president? And then he'll joke about how maybe Trump will make him a Supreme Court justice, which might not be out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
So we're talking about that. Let's get to the big question. How is this going to play out? I mean, at the end of the day, is it a foregone conclusion that Hillary Clinton wins the presidential race? But then how does that affect what is the down ticket vote or whatever that's called, where you have other influential races across the country dealing with local, state, and national government races? Are we going to see any big change? Are we going to sort of be where we're at now, where we've got a Democratic president and then everything else is sort of controlled by the GOP, at least on the national level? Jared, we'll go to you. We'll go to you, Jared.
We're pundits now.
I'm sort of the opinion and the feeling that Clinton wins presidency. I feel like there's a really good chance that the Democrats take the Senate back. And I think they make up ground in the House. I don't think that there is mathematically a chance for them, obviously, to take the House back because every seat is up for it. But that would be they'd have to run the table for the most
part. That's not going to happen.
I don't see that happening.
You have a different presidential nominee. Maybe you do that. But she's polarizing enough. Adam,
I honestly feel like the Dems will do better in down ballot races now than they would have a few months ago, just because of the way the Republican Party has sort of just split and fractured, and Trump and his cronies are completely on their own, unhinged at this point. And I don't know what has happened in the real world since this episode was recorded. Maybe more GOP people have decided to drop out and not support him, or have actually decided to say something about his horrible behavior. But as we're recording this, that is the big question, is will a GOP leadership as it stands now have any backbone when it comes to their presidential candidate who is basically burning the place down?
Adam?
So, a couple things.
Please.
One, I am now an election judge. Which is
a very interesting thing, a salient issue.
Do you have a pickup truck with American flags and a metal cage in the bed so you can lock up people you've profiled as not being...
You're not going to see that kind of crap in, you know, suburban Minnesota.
Well, in exurban Minnesota.
But you may see that. And in other places, you know, where you have more Trump supporters, you're going to see some of that stuff, which is illegal.
Well,
it is illegal.
You're not allowed to
intimidate voters at the polls.
You're not allowed to politicize you're not allowed to campaign at a polling place in Minnesota. And that includes having a bumper sticker on your car. We were told if someone complains, you're supposed to ask them to, you know, give them some blue painter's tape and cover it while they're parking.
That seems a little crazy, but okay.
I mean, no one's reality is it doesn't take very long to vote. So by the time that they're done.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you're going to be walking into your local poll going, I'm just really not sure.
Yeah.
I guess the first political sticker I see will make up my mind. Hillary it is.
So what motivated you to do this,
Adam? At my work, we get 8 hours of volunteer paid time off, and we're encouraged to use it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. Oh, you know what it was? I voted in the primary, and one of the 90-year-old ladies. She was like, "It was me and Mandy," and she only talked to me and said,
"Well,
oh,
look at you, you're
sir,
very handsome.
Sir, if you are interested and you want to volunteer, we need election judges for
you can
the
do that while
election.
Your wife is staying home and baking your dinner."
Right? Just didn't even look at Mandy. Just she wasn't there. So I was like, I don't know, that's a cool thing I guess I could do. And then I talked to the city clerk who runs the thing, and she's like, yeah, fill this out.
That's awesome. Yeah. You might be the youngest guy there.
We did training on Wednesday. There were two high school seniors.
Well, good for them, too.
And there were probably three or four other people that were, you know, 30s.
So where does that take us?
For that day. I did look at New Brighton's voting in the last couple elections, and it's like 60-40.
Dem versus Repub.
Yeah. But right near City Hall in my city, there's a giant Hillary for prison.
For prison,
banner on like this person's fence that faces the main road. Like, there's crazy people everywhere.
I was just talking to someone the other day about locally in St. Louis Park. There is a neighbor that has a Confederate flag.
Nice.
And you know, Trump signs.
Yeah,
I mean, just brazenly putting it up there.
Yeah, Minnesotan Confederates.
Yeah,
like what? Yeah, you have there's like people in the South at least can pretend it's history. Yeah. Like, what do you got?
Yeah.
Anyway, like, you know, 538 says it's 85-14 right now. Is the
percent chance of winning?
Yeah. So I think it's a foregone conclusion. Paul Ryan thinks it's a foregone conclusion.
It's not.
At this point.
You got to get out there and vote.
Right. Yeah. Yes. It is a foregone conclusion given that people actually do their civic duty.
Sure.
But that should energize people, right? People want to be part of a winning team. And you hope that people understand that you're both voting for Hillary, you're voting against Trump, and you should also be voting against the enablers of Trump. Right. And I think Obama's out there making like a strong case for that, you know, not forgiving the people that kind of have allowed this to happen. But then every day you have these stories where like Trump's out there saying how it's like, you know, it's going to be a rigged election.
Yeah.
He's not going to concede.
No.
Right. Like,
where is his place in history after the election is over? What is his part to play?
Well, he goes away silently.
Does he go away, or is he still going to be out there, you know?
He may not, but the mindset will not go away easily.
No.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the cynical view is, oh, he starts Trump TV and, you know, he has 10 million people that are interested in it. And even if only a tenth of those sign up for $8.99 a month or whatever, you know, it's great. Works out perfectly for him. I mean, I'm with Jared. I think that
I'm not running though, so please, please don't vote for me.
Democrats have a good map as far as winning the Senate is concerned. So I think that because that you know, assuming Hillary wins, they also only need a 50-50 split in the Senate. The House, just with the way gerrymandering works, it would take a wave way bigger than what we saw in 2010. Yeah. It seems unlikely. Doubtful. And they'd lose it again 2 years later anyway.
Yeah.
So
don't forget, we have a census coming up in 2020.
Right.
And that is where you get the opportunity to fix your districts. So keep that in mind, kids.
Yeah, I've recently read a couple of articles about, you know, just the way our country is voting, what the expectation is, and how geographic it is in terms of, you know, central populations voting for Hillary, and then everything outside of those areas having a higher support for Trump than what people expected, you know. So, and I don't know if that tie, you know, if that ties into a lot of people outside of the urban centers that are, you know, formerly or part of like manufacturing, that kind of stuff, where you know, you've got single sources for jobs, and then you've got this idea that, you know, Hillary is going to continue to destroy those jobs by outsourcing and stuff like that, which I believe is a bit of a false premise. If you could see that, Jared just rolled his eyes to the sky.
False premises are all over the place in this.
It's all
election.
We have now.
Yeah. And I read another interesting article. Read another interesting article. Maybe you guys saw this. I think it was at Vox.com about, you know, this idea that Trump supporters are real. Are they really just, you know, poor white men, you know, low education. And looking at it, apparently there's no real support for that. That's not really the case.
Right.
Is that they in terms of median income, they're it's higher than, you know, what the median income is for Hillary supporters that are, you know, not white people, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's just really poor.
You mean it's not economic anxiety that's actually causing this? It's something else?
I just can't say.
I wonder what that other thing would be. One of the things I think is the most interesting is there was a survey.
Yeah, is the fact that all of these people that are voting for, not all of these, but, you know, more Trump supporters, when they're asked about their feelings towards certain races and racial anxiety, it's always higher than what it would be for the Hillary supporters.
Sure. Weird.
No matter what your income is. So. Right. Mm-hmm. You're selling that, essentially. That's the thing. Being scared of your country being overtaken or your standard being changed, which I think we just sort of got to get over. That's what I think. But anyway, Adam, you were saying.
Oh, yes. There was just an interesting, this kind of comes back to the gender breakdown.
Yep.
It was a survey done, and it asked, who are you voting for?
Right.
And who do you think your spouse is voting for? Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Okay. Yep. And basically it was like husbands, you know, let's just say men were saying they themselves, 47% of them were voting for Trump. Mm-hmm. And then when asked who their spouse is voting for, 45 of them said Trump. And then when women were asked the exact same question, it was like 35% of them were voting for Trump. So like there's that 10% gap
disconnect
where it's just interesting that then there's these other things about like stories about women in the South who've been like ostracized from their families for saying they won't vote for Trump I don't know. It's insane. And it's like, it's not when you're on like the winning side, like, you know, like in 2008 at this point, I think everyone was pretty sure Obama was going to win. And it was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And like Palin had like introduced a weird, bad element, but like otherwise it was like pretty exciting.
Yeah.
This is not exciting.
No.
It's just like, I just want it to be done. Yeah. And
how many Hillary signs have you seen in people's yards or even Trump signs compared to other years? I don't see them.
Right.
They're nowhere.
Almost no signs.
None.
No, I see signs for local elections.
Yeah, it's only local stuff.
I was interested. So we drove up and down the St. Croix River, and I saw not a lot, but I saw a few dozen Hillary signs in Wisconsin driving up and down there. I don't know that I've seen more than six locally.
Wow.
It's just
it's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And you can talk about, you know, they're both bad. You know, do I vote for? You can talk about it, but let's be honest. You know, and I think that to have a successful republic, you need to have multiple sides. You need, you know, not all Republicans are bad. Not all Democrats are great.
I don't know. My mom sent me an email that said Rethuglicans. So I'm pretty sure they're all bad guys.
But, you know,
I heard it first. Moms agree. Rethuglicans.
I think in this case, some in this room might argue that Trump is cut from a different cloth. And
sure, but it's the same cloth that the, you know, GOP has been, you know, trying to accentuate for the past X number of years.
Like, I mean, I think that that as a party, they are going to have to take a deep, hard look at themselves,
you'd hope,
and see if, you know, their take on race in America is one that is going to be successful.
Yep.
Race and gender, as a matter of fact.
I mean, I will say it's not just Trump saying that this election's rigged. Giuliani's saying it.
Well, Giuliani's turned into a crazy person.
Jeff Sessions, who is a senator, is saying it today. Yeah. Like, that whole part, it's not like he's an aberration.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Yeah. There's no evidence for it at all.
No.
But,
well, I feel like it might be true.
Anything to delegitimize it.
Yeah. We're already starting. Pretty sad.
Yeah, because they know they're going to lose.
Well, we will definitely cover the election results when we come back from our break.
Are we going to do a live election special?
We've got to do, like, since we feel like the Daily Show is letting us down. We are going to do our live election coverage.
No, we're not.
Okay, I'll do it from in my spot as a judge. It'll just
be a Facebook Live feed of me drinking the entire evening.
Perfect.
That's really all I could handle.
Hangover for Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for participating in this terrific nerd round table.
Mm.
It's more of a rectangle table.
It's a rectangle, really. It's a squared circle, Jared. So we will take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Scope. Under the Scope.
Yes, indeed, it's Under the Scope. Mm-hmm. And it's coming soon. Adam, take it away.
Oh, okay.
Quickly now, quickly.
Music. We've got Empire of the Sun.
Okay.
Helmet.
Helmet is back.
Helmet.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure that there was an episode of Beavis and Butthead where they watched a helmet video.
That's the helmet song.
It sounded very first started.
I thought he was doing a Beavis and Butthead imitation.
It sounded like that, the Sports Center thing when he first started.
Like a Thrasher Sports Center.
Yes. Rachel Sage, Testament.
Testament, yeah.
Takei Maidza, and Love. No, sorry. Tove Lo. Not Love.
It's pronounced Takei. Like, okay.
Movies, only Tsunami. Two movies this week. It's weird. American Pastoral, which is that Ewan McGregor.
I could have got screen tickets for that, Jared.
Yeah.
Very, very bad
really?
Responses Buzz? Right now. Yeah, okay. Like 20% on...
we're out of that.
And Inferno, the Dan Brown,
yep.
Tom Hanks movie.
Quick thing about movies, you know, you may have noticed that The Scope has not been reviewing as many movies.
Yeah.
Part of that is Jared's going through puberty, and we've got to get him through it before we can do that. But the other thing is that we've sort of decided that our time is valuable enough, and if the movie looks like a sure stinker, a lot of times we don't bother. Because why go sit and wait for an hour and a half, 2 hours beforehand to see a movie that you hate?
And honestly, a lot of the marquee movies, the high-end ones you want to see, just they haven't been doing passes as much that we've been able to get to. So it's just like,
There was one I got passes for this week, Jared, that I really wanted to see, but I was too tired to see. It was that teenage movie that I sent you that link for about something. But that doesn't come out till November sometime, so we might get another chance. Anyway, Adam, keep going.
All right. Home video, we've got Rock and Rule. I don't know. Marquee. Tank Girl. Finally got a Tank Girl appearance.
I'm sure it's been out before, but there we go.
Is this like an iTunes release or something?
I don't know. The Exorcist 3.
Ooh.
Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas, Captain Fantastic, Papa, Hemingway in Cuba,
Cuba,
Papa.
Papa, can you hear me?
We got the Mufungo.
Lights Out.
Big Dominican lunch.
Nerve. You know what was interesting? Did you guys see they re-released Nerve? Nerve was that movie with James Franco's younger brother.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Yeah. Mark Franco?
Mark, sure. John, Joey? Yeah.
Dave. I believe Dave Franco is the one.
And what's her face? Something Roberts?
Emma Roberts.
Julia Roberts. They re-released that movie.
Why?
After it left the theaters. And they did this weird thing where like they were only selling tickets through like this app.
Okay.
I don't know.
Did it work?
I have no idea. It was happening during the state fair. And I was just kind of interested to... see how that played out, and I have no idea.
That's another movie that we could have seen, but boy, it looked really stupid.
Well, Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Wow, what is with this?
I don't know. The Idol, Hunt for the Wilder People, and Mr. Church. Video games.
Yes.
We've got Batman, the Telltale series, Episode 3, New World Order. That one's getting okay reviews, the Batman Telltale series. Okay. But it's like all the Telltale
games.
It's
all text. I was like, I don't need it. I don't need it.
Corpse Party.
My kind of party.
Corpse Party. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
Mm.
Xenophobia.
You guys watching Atlanta?
Yes.
Still? Did you see the episode with the black guy who identified as a white guy?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They had a Dragon Ball Z
there was a reference
in that, and I was really...
That was a deep dive.
Did you ever explain why they had a black Justin Bieber?
No.
Yeah, we read about it. It was just because they wanted to do sort of an alternate universe type of thing.
Okay. And that's cool. I was just curious what the reason was.
And they said another part of it was is that, you know, why it wasn't completely the only reason that they wanted to show that the behavior that Justin Bieber gets dinged for as a white kid, it's looking at completely differently if it's done by a black person.
Sure.
So that was okay. Part of why they wanted to show that.
I just thought it was an interesting choice. I'm like,
Manny thought it was.
They didn't explain it at all.
Yeah,
I
think that they were looking at white guys initially, but then they changed it up. But I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I compared before that episode. I compared the show to Louis, and that it's kind of like a weird, dreamy reality or something. Yeah. And then the episode after that really solidified that.
I tell Jared said that show is a show that I have so much difficulty relating to. Mm-hmm. Like it just does not speak to my life at all. But I love pretty much everything about it. The last episode was a little weird, but generally speaking, I just find it fascinating.
The talk show one thought was weird? That might be my favorite
episode. A lot of people said it was really funny, and I was like,
You don't watch enough BET, I get it.
I think that's it.
Next up, Exile's End. We've got Just Dance 2017. King's Quest, Chapter 5, The Good Knight. World of Final Fantasy. Yomari, Night Alone. Clockwork Empress. Alice VR. Berserk. Crows. Neo Atlas, 1469. Through the Woods. Hey, have you guys seen the thing on the internet where, like, when people will, like, screenshot something that says the numbers 6 and 9 somewhere near each other, and then they'll say, nice.
No.
No, that's a thing?
That's a thing.
Okay.
I think that's funny. Like, that sounds like something I would do.
Like, if the temperature is going to be, the high is 69, they'll, like, screen cap that, you know, Sven Sundgaard pointing to it, and then they'll just say, nice.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Through the Woods, Weeping Doll, Carnival Games, VR. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
It's everywhere.
I'm here twice. And Titanfall 2.
The game's so nice, he mentioned it twice.
You got it.
Titanfall 2. But guess what, Jared? There's one more thing.
What's that?
Hit it or miss it. Hit it or miss it. Done. who does it this week?
It's me.
Okay.
I'm doing a Shane special hit it.
A Shane. Do it.
For this week, we have a re-release of a game that dominated your video game life. So long.
Can I guess what it is?
Sure.
Is it Skyrim?
It is the Windows. I don't know why there's a re-release for whatever. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One re-release of The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
That game is great. Did dominate my life
and
for a long time.
What's it bringing to the Xbox? And
mods?
To some extent for PlayStation 4?
Mods.
Mod support. So,
look at Jared, so entertained over there.
The Xbox One will have full mod support, they're saying. PlayStation 4's version will have limited mod support. Okay. So,
for the record,
you're not going to get
it. I'm not going to get it because there's... You know, there's nothing in that game that I haven't done, with the exception of, like, additional DLC, which wasn't that much, I don't think. So I'm not getting it. I loved it, but give me a new Skyrim.
There you go.
There we go. Wrap it up, dude. under
the scope.
Oh, yeah. It's your boy, Jay Rizzle.
Jay Rizzle, I gave him that nickname.
Hey, folks. Thanks for sticking with us this long. I know it's late in the episode, but still, if you'd like to write into the show, you can hit us up at comments@thescopeshow.com, or please call our voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE, that is 612-217-2673. Please do call it before I get another message from Google saying, hey, you haven't used this number in a while. We're going to shut it down unless you use it. So give that number a jingle. You can also hit us up on social media. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. Those links are on our website at thescopeshow.com. Probably still hasn't been revamped by the time you hear this, but it's coming. It's coming, folks. You can also watch this show or listen to it on YouTube, youtube.com/thescopeshow. Or if you'd like to support the show.
Yes, you do.
And our crazy accents.
Yes, that, Adam was right. That really did not carry through.
Nope, did not. You can hit us on patreon.com/thescopeshow, where you can pledge as little as $1 an episode, cancel anytime. Don't do that, though, because we don't want you to cancel.
Never cancel, Adam. We're looking at you.
Or support us by shopping on Amazon. Who doesn't do that?
It's Christmas time coming up, Jared.
Thescopeshow.com/Amazon.
Are you using Amazon, Adam,
for our
stuff?
Good job.
Me too.
All right.
I just put it.
I can't help, even though I probably shop at Amazon the most of the three of us, because the account's under my name.
Is that a challenge?
Yeah, maybe we should put it under, like, my daughter's name, and then we could all...
It's illegal.
Hmm.
Or...
on that. Anyway,
questionable.
Back to you.
All right. Well, terrific job, Jared. Terrific job, Adam. We covered a lot of hot and heavy topics.
Yeah, mate.
And I think what we've agreed on is that we need a Trump VR game. That's what we came down to. You just mash it all together, right?
Would you be Trump in the game?
Yeah.
You'd have little tiny hands rendered on screen?
You'd have to have very specific controllers to do the hand movements.
I think
like
so,
you.
True.
Wow. Well, let's ponder that while we take a one-week break from the scope. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode. So until then, guys, bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Belle nuit. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.